since I was 17 years old from my first record deal. And this is what I do for a living and make a great living out of it. So I lost my mother and I lost my father back to back. He's coming to my town. It's going down. I'm going to be the one smiling. He's leaving with a friend.
Philadelphia, let's get ready to rumble!
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the studio. Today we have the King of Hooks, Corey Wims. Welcome to the studio, Corey.
Oh, Mike, pleasure for having me, man. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you very much. Pleasure's mine.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. Love the shirt. I'm supporting, too, representing Celebrity Boxing.
That's right. Shout out to Damon and them, the whole team.
Absolutely. So we've got the contender here going up against Antonio Sabato Jr. in Philadelphia on September 26th.
That's right. And it's going to be extravagant. He think he's coming for the gold. I got the Rocky Apollo Creed belt.
That's badass.
Sitting in my home, added with a few other belts I have a collection of. So he's coming in my city, and I ain't going to show no pity.
That's right. I love it. So you're born and raised in Philly.
All day long. North Philadelphia for the most part of my life. Mother and father, both sides of the family, North Philly. Then later in the years, moved up Winfield, which is a higher part of West Philly. So, yeah, I represent both parts.
I love it. And so you've got quite an extensive background in the music industry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mike, God has been good to me, Mike. I've done it all to only be, I don't mind telling me, he's to only be 43 years old. I've been very, very successful. God has allowed me to travel the world since I was 17 years old from my first record deal. And this is what I do for a living and make a great living out of it. And anytime God gives you something that allows you to make a living out of, I don't think you could complain too much. That is my 9-to-5 music. I don't have to do anything else. So I'm blessed to do what I do. So, yeah.
That's amazing. It's beautiful. Well said. I agree. And when did you find your way into your musical talents? How did that evolve for you?
See, for us in Philly, well, just soul singers, period. I'm not even going to say Philly. Soul singers, as you know, Mike, and you've been around, soul singers usually start in church. So mother had us on the choir, me and my two sisters, and it all started from there. I knew that it was anointing on my voice by the reaction of what others would tell me. It's never just self-centered in what you think of self, but if others tell you, it progressed even more. And it was something I grew to like and love, and I said, oh, it's something I want to do outside of the church. So it all started from homegrown church, man, Cornerstone Baptist Church. My mother had me and my sister on the choir, and the rest was history.
That's amazing. And so I was, you know, getting to know you a little bit better in your bio, and yes. You've had actually, Will Smith has hired you twice. Sing for his mother.
His mother, twice. Yep, I flew out, he flew me to one, you know, he got five houses. He flew me to one in L.A., and then he also took me to the one that he has in a place called Winfield. It's a little humble home in Winfield, and it was beautiful, man. He hired me 2 years back-to-back, not like far apart, they were back-to-back years. He was very impressed with my musical talent, and I was able to go there and give him some music that him and his mother was very delighted to hear.
That's fantastic. So when someone hires you for like a private gig like that, like what does that look like for you? What's the what is the time frame?
God orchestrates it all, and then I do the rest. So I say that to say, you might hear me say God first a lot in here because I do nothing without him first. But that being said, he gave me the gift. So to answer your question, well, like let's just say for instance, Will Smith, you know, when he called me with the contract, and he called me direct. Actually, Charlie Mack did first, and then Will Smith got on the phone. But he called me direct. His sister and him wanted to get in touch with me. They everybody knew I was like the soul singer from Philadelphia that everybody loves, and da 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 da. And was singing with Patti LaBelle at the time, and da 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 da. And so they said, what can we do but bring a male singer to sing for our mother? And they reached out to me, and I was just like, wow. And the pay was even, you know, great, you know. And so if somebody want to give you, you know, let's just say a little over $5,000, I don't mind saying that, for just 20 minutes of singing, and somebody like him and the stature that he is, and of course pay for everything and da 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 da. And I was just like, wow. And then I did so great, he allowed me to come right back the year later. So I really couldn't complain or do anything or say anything too much about it.
Wow.
I get these calls all the time, as you know now. This is all the time. And literally tonight, I have a show tonight in Atlantic City, New Jersey, where I have to go do a private party there. And that's a quick $2,500 in my pocket just for like 15 minutes. So stuff like that, it comes all the time. Then I have another show tomorrow, you know, and I'll be in Buffalo, New York. So that's a couple, you know, another couple thousand. So it just goes boom, 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 boom.
Man, you are cooking with grease. You are cooking with grease.
I stay booked. Mike, I stay booked every week. Like, I didn't say every month. I said every week. Like, yeah. I don't, like, literally. I got to, obviously, we got to face off tomorrow night, man, Antonio. So once I leave Buffalo, New York, when I have to do that 5 o'clock show, say I get done around 6, I got her to speed down, 3-hour drive. I'll get down 8:30, 9 o'clock, pushing it to the face off at Harris Casino with them. So it's nonstop.
Yeah, you guys got the press conference. That's going to be amazing.
Right.
Yeah,
trying to get the meeting.
Yeah,
for the
very
first
exciting.
Time, Mike.
You guys got amazing sponsors too: Delco Steaks and Burnt Coffee Company. The Burnt Coffee Company.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Great guys.
Me and Antonio get to meet for the first time. We'll be face to face. I get to look him in the eye. He get to look me in the eye. We're the same exact height, 6'1", and it's going to be fun.
I'm loving it. Man, and also back to, you know, the music career. You've synced back up for Patti LaBelle, the iconic Patti LaBelle.
Yes, I did for a couple of years, and it's been truly a pleasure. I've traveled all over with her. The last thing we did was the BET Festival, which was three summers ago. That was the last. I just finished with her 3 summers ago, and it's all on YouTube. We did the last. That was during the cold season. We did the big festival out there, and it was packed even during cold. And we had a great time for BET. And I had my few years with her, and I had some fun with her. And we remained very close to this day. Spoke to her on Mother's Day. So it was the last time I reached out to her and da-da-da-da-da.
That's fantastic. God is good, and hard work and talent pays off, sir.
Come on there.
Yeah.
I've done it all.
You have. You've got quite a list of accolades, too. I was reading some of your awards. Let's touch on some of your awards. There's so many to list.
Yes.
What was the first accolade that came your way?
I believe the first. I'm trying to remember what was the first one. I don't know if it was a TV show or was it an award. Which one are you talking? I got so many.
I know. That's what I was saying. The Apollo Theater champ?
Oh, yeah, the Apollo Theater. Yeah, I won that. Yeah, I won first place in that contest. And that's where it all starts at for most singers, most of us. When you, at that time at least, when you can go to, you know, Apollo in the early 2000s or late 99 and make a name for yourself. It wasn't easy back then, Mike. Seriously,
right.
Back in that time, they booed you if you was bad. They didn't care how your feelings was or nothing. So I came out there and bought my A game. As you know, it's 3 rounds when you do that. And I came back and I won first place. And I was very satisfied. And
that's from the there used to be a show called It's Showtime at the Apollo.
Showtime at the Apollo. Yes. That's the one I won. The real one.
Yeah, I used to watch that.
Right. Mike, not just the new Apollo. Now they just say Apollo.
Right.
It was Showtime at the Apollo. Yeah.
Yes. I remember. I'm old school. So I'm 48.
On,
so
Mike.
I know.
Come on, Mike.
Yes. That's
so
amazing.
I had some fun doing that.
Yeah.
I won a few TV shows, as you've seen. Urban Star Search, UPN 57, Give Me the Mic. I won Steve Harvey, Big Singer Contest. Man, I won so much that when it becomes to a point where if you're not humble, you can get cocky. Now, cocky is good when you're on the stage and when you're in character, because I could become that when I'm in character. But if you win something one time, somebody can say, wow, that was a lucky win. Well, what about if you won 4 TV shows like I did? I don't think it's luck. I think it's the talent that I have and that I possess, and that I nurtured and that I sacred and, you know, speaks for itself.
Quattro.
Ball. 4-piece.
Four times.
So countless awards, as you know. I don't remember all the dates, but countless awards I was given. Toured with many. I'm on records with many different celebrities. My first big record was with Erykah Badu.
Yes.
The record called it's called Coming Closer. You can look it up to this day. It won gold. And I was like, man, I wasn't even 20 yet and had a gold record with Erykah Badu. So I was already solidified a long time.
Yeah, I saw that. Erykah Badu and also Jodeci.
Oh, yeah. I done worked with them. Many men KC are like this. Actually, my best friend writes for him, Jay Reezy. Shout out to him. He writes for Jodeci and all of them and TLC and da da da. So, I have a very great resume, Mike, and I've been honored and pleasured and happy to work with many.
Yeah, so cool. And so, just to give the audience a little bit of context, how you got the name the King of Hooks. 523 hooks and collabs with underground and 23 signed artists.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gilly the Kid. I know you know the legend Kool G Rap. You know Noriega, Gilly the Kid, Bow Wow. Everybody know Bow Wow. You know Jadakiss, Freeway. You know the list goes on. You know when you got all them records, it's just like wow. You know sometimes I sit there and I say wow. And I get called for these every month. I actually got one to do in 2 weeks with Cassidy again. everybody know Cassidy. He had the song "I'm a Hustler." With Jay-Z, and yeah. So I've worked with so many, and I'm just humbled and honored and grateful that they called me and respect my voice to do what I do. And obviously, I go in there, I deliver. I write all my hooks, I sing them all, and the rest is it. They got my money, they get a hook.
It is amazing. You've made quite a name for yourself in the music industry.
Hey, Mike, or they can get the other hook.
That's right. Yes, sir.
36-3 in that as well. So, yeah, 39 amateur fights, 36 wins, 3 losses. Did that as well.
Amazing. Well, I was going to touch on your love for basketball, too. 300 one-on-one wins, losses to date.
No losses. They all on my page. Like, if you, like, just in case you was think, not you literally, just in case somebody think I was bluffing, if you go on my Instagram page, King of Hooks, all 300 are there, and, you know, throughout the years of doing it. Never lost one-on-one for money, 300-0. I was very good. My mother wanted me to play ball, God rest her soul, but I told her I wanted to do music, so I didn't do what she wanted me to do. I wanted to do music, so
yeah.
I could have done them both.
Following your dreams, but it sounds like you're a man of many talents.
Yeah, God bless you. He blessed me with a lot of gifts.
Yeah.
He did. He blessed me with a lot of gifts,
and I worked so hard to maintain them. And with that being said, you found your way into boxing at 16.
Yes, I did.
So Danny, you've been doing that for quite a while.
Quite a while. 43 now. Still stay sharp. If I'm scared to get up and keep moving the phone, I don't want it to mess up. But in my big garage, I got a whole gym and everything. But Danny, who trained Bernard Hopkins and many other champions, Hank Lundy, Danny Garcia, and a few others, him and a guy named Fetch had got me into boxing. And where I was from, North Philly, you had to know how to fight. So it's just, that's what it is. You had to know how to fight. So I wanted to know how to fight. Not just fight, I wanted to be great at technique. So that's what got me into boxing. And Danny took me under his wing, and so did Fats. And the rest was history. You know, the rest was history. 36 wins, so the rest was history. Only 3 losses.
I mean, I can tell just by your energy, you are fast on your feet.
Very fast. Yeah. I'm very fast with the hands and have a very sharp hook. Very, very, very double-paced quick jab. Know how to stick and move, stay out the way. I studied Sugar Ray Leonard, Muhammad Ali, of course. Yeah. You know, them type guys who know how to stick and move, keep rolling off the dice, keep rolling off the left, and always be ready for a counterpunch.
That's why the King of Hooks is twofold.
Twofold. Yes. Twofold. Twofold.
I'm loving it. So what is your, obviously you're in great shape and you got a great mindset. You're very inspiring, very enthusiastic. What is your training protocol look like just on
a
daily?
So I start in 2 weeks, you know, for actually training camp. It's different from you just being looking okay now. Me looking right now is just okay. When you see me in 3 months come fight time, I'll be 8 to 10 pounds less and I'll be even ripped more. The reason why is obviously I'm going to take 75 to 80 days and go into full training. That's when you're running, you know, 8 miles a day, you know, and you're watching out all the eating that you're not supposed to eat anymore, you know, different things like that. And you're doing all your lifting the weights and you're doing all your cardios and you're doing all your boxing and you're sparring a heavy train camp doing, you know, 5 to 6 rounds 3 times a week. So I'm going to train in the actual gym with my boxing trainer again, Danny, and a few others to wake them back up. They're going to train me for 3 days a week in the gym. And then the other days is on yourself, which I'll be home, like in my own gym, you know, watching my weight, don't eat too much, 1 meal a day, you know, things of that nature, running and running and running and lifting and just getting my body real tight for the hits. You have to be able to take a hit as well. Many people can hit, but you have to be able to take the hit. So yeah. Turning my face to get hit again, allowing somebody to punch me in the face at sparring sessions and tightening up my stomach with the push-ups and sit-ups.
I love that. And speaking of hits and taking the hits, you know, nobody with the amount of success that you've had gets by without facing some adversity and taking some hits, you know. What are some stories you can share of adversity that just kept you pushing?
Well, you know what, Mike? I say this to you, and thank you for asking that. That is a very great question and a tough question. I say that to say, so I lost my mother and I lost my father back to back. So when you have that and that drives you and motivates you to continue to make them proud. Daddy died from being sick, his liver, you know, his liver went. My mom, they had 30 years in marriage. My mom said she can't live no more without daddy. She died 1 year later from broken heart. Wow. Wasn't sick enough.
So imagine losing
both, you know what I mean? I lost my dad at 29. I lost mommy at 30. So at least I wasn't no kid, but though you still want them around forever, who don't, right?
Yeah.
But at least my mom, her last words to me on her bed, You know, she said, you're my superstar. And of course I was crying and da, da, da. And she said, you're grown. She said, you have everything going for you. She said, you know, you're 30 years old. She said, you got this, baby. And she kissed me. So I take that and let that strive with me. You know, I was 30. I wasn't a kid like some fortunate others that's lost their parents, though, you know, but I still wish they was around like anybody else would. But that's my toughest adversity, obviously, to move both my parents within a year apart. And it keeps me going. It keeps me going to keep making them proud. And I know I am. I'm very successful at many things, not just singing, as you know. I get hired to do the host, the pod, you know, everything is my energy, my aura. So I done did the national anthem all over it for every team you can name. I done hosted events all over, ring announcer, you know, so I've been fortunate enough to be called to do a lot of things. Yeah. And just last year, Mike, I just got married. So last year, my beautiful wife is upstairs. She saves lives for a living. So she was an RN 17 years. Now she's a doctor, so she does her thing as well. She's blessed. And we got married last August. So it makes 1 year coming up this August.
Wow. Well, first, I'm sorry for your loss, but you've gained two beautiful guardian angels that are always with you. That's amazing. And congratulations on your nuptials. Yes. I love it.
Thank you. Yes. It'll be a year this August.
And a shout out to your bride for saving lives.
Shamika Wims.
Yeah.
Shamika Wims, the one and only.
I love it. That's amazing. Congratulations on that. So you guys keep each other going then, huh? You guys.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. She's my backbone. I met her at one of my shows, actually, me singing. I got off the stage 4 years ago. I grabbed her out the audience, and the rest was history. Got married 3 years later.
Gosh, you're such a pro, and you've been entertaining folks for so long. What is your favorite form of entertainment? Like, what is it that really, you know, where you feel inspired and you're really making an impact on the audience?
I love mostly my singing. Music is food to the soul for anybody, no matter what race. We all can gel together when it comes to music. I listen to all genres and all music. Some of my favorites are Phil Collins, Barry Manilow. Like, I blow your mind with some of the people I listen to in my musical day. But these are people that I nourish from. So, and I love the oldies more than the people of my era. I don't know how that happened, but that's just how I am.
Oh, man, we are very similar in that respect. I'm a huge Phil Collins fan. Huge Phil Collins fan.
Come on, man. And I love Barry Manilow. I listen, man. I think that Barry Manilow, let me watch what I say. I want to say it correctly. I think he's the top 10 greatest love songwriters of all time. Love song, it's a difference.
Yeah.
He ain't not just writer, the greatest love songwriter. You know, Can't Smile Without You. And, you know, I'm like, wow, you know. It's like, man, I'm like, man, that song right there. I sing that a lot, and you know, and I play that a lot because I'm like, I dedicate that to my wife many times when we're down here or we're just talking together. And it's but Somewhere Down the Road is such a huge love ballad. You know, when you had somebody that you loved before, y'all broke up, and you believe that somewhere down the road you'll reconnect. I don't know if you know that one by him. That
beautiful.
Is a beautiful love song, man.
Now I gotta ask. So you're such a polished musician, and you've got such a broad range of taste and artists. Now getting married to your wife and did you guys have a wedding and a reception and all that?
We had a huge. If she was downstairs, I'll tell you this, Mike. At least over on our side of the world. Many people called our wedding of the decade. We had 200 people. We had 20 different bridesmaids, 20 different grooms. It was just a beautiful mega feast. I had Tony Terry sing at my wedding. If you know who that is, that's the guy that sang When I'm With You.
Big yeah, wow.
I called him one of my good friends, sing at the wedding. We had it at the mansion in Voorhees over this town. If you look it up, it is extravagant. Wow. So we really had a lot of superstars go there. I put it to that way.
Amazing. I was gonna ask, what was your wedding song?
Right. You know what's funny? When I'm With You. When I'm With You.
Beautiful.
Yeah, When I'm With You. Yeah, so, and it was just like, wow. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it.
That's awesome. What an amazing celebration.
Yeah, God is good, Mike.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
So are you guys planning on having children down the road?
We're working on it now, Mike.
You just got to take that championship first,
Mike,
right?
I got to complete it, Mike. I'm a bad man, but my child is going to be better.
That's right.
We're working on it now, Mike.
Well, I bet you're going to be giving birth to a child prodigy with all your gifts.
That's right. She wants twins, Mike. She wants twins. She prayed on it. Let me give you a story with her real quick.
Yeah.
So my wife is interested in how we met. This is no BS. I wish she's upstairs on the computer sending medicine to doctors so she can't come down. But she manifested everything about me and her, meaning she wrote a like in her journal or whatever. And now this is 3 years before she met me. She wrote in her journal that she wanted to meet a man that is in the entertainment business, right? And she wrote some other things like not self-centered and da-da-da-da-da. You know, she wanted somebody funny. You know, different things that she wrote. All the attributes and qualities that I have. But she wrote in the entertainment business, you know, not walking around, you know, doing the bad things, da-da-da-da-da. It's a lot she wrote. I'm trying to let her whole personal journal. But what she wrote was all me. Christian man, humble, God-fearing, just the whole nine yards. When we meet, she showed me a little bit of it. And I was sitting there reading like, wow. You know, she said the same sign. We was the same sign.
What's your sign?
Both my birthdays. See, I'm a Sagittarius. We both birthdays in November. I'm Sagittarius.
All right. No wonder why we get along, because I'm a Capricorn and I'm on the cusp. I'm December 22nd, so I'm right on the cusp there. I start Capricorn.
Wow. I'm November 25th.
Beautiful.
I'm on the cusp of Scorpio. Wow.
That's cool.
My mother and father, Capricorn and Sag.
Amazing.
Wow.
I love it.
Wow. Okay. So everything she manifested with me, I'll just speed up. She also manifested, Mike, that we'll have twins. That was in her journal. So we're going to see if that works out. If it do, I'm going to call you and let you know, Mike, we're pregnant.
I love it. So I believe in all of that. I believe in putting pen to paper. So people can call it what they want. They can call it journaling. They can call it manifesting. Some guys are into that. Some guys are not. I think it's pen to paper. And I believe that you can manifest the life that you want. And
well, the word says speak it, you know, speak it and believe it, you know.
Yeah.
Speak in your purpose and ask God to grant it, you know.
Speak it into existence, and the power of prayer is real.
Come on, brother. You got to. You pray on it and you leave it there. You speak it into existence, pray on it, leave it there. What's for you, he's going to give you. You know Absolutely. What I mean, Mike? And I want to commend you on your show, too. Obviously, I went through your page. I don't know if you've seen it. I liked a lot of your stuff. I didn't just like it. I literally sat and listened to some of the interviews with some of the young ladies and men. I want to say you do a great job on that. And the pleasure is mine for being here. Thanks to you and Neil and your whole team. I humbly appreciate that as well.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I put a lot of hard work into it. And, you know, I had faced some adversity myself coming up and, you know, putting everything together kind of. It's interesting. As talking to you, you're easy to connect with. Even just messaging with you, your energy, like, comes through text. That's powerful. That's powerful energy.
That's right. Well, guess what? He's going to fill all my energy come September 26th. Let's get on him. Antonio, he's coming to my town. It's going down. He's leaving with it. Listen, he's coming to my town. It's going down. I'm going to be the one smiling. He's leaving with a frown.
Yeah. So he's got a lot of energy, too. Great guy. I did an interview with him. And
I seen it.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome. Thank you for watching the show. I appreciate that.
Yes, I did. He's very blessed as well. We all know he's done a lot of great things in his career and life as well. And may God continue to allow him to do so before and after our bout. We have no hatred towards each other. It's just business, as you know. He's a likable guy. I'm a likable guy. But come 9/26, he's going to get the fix.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he had great things to say about you, too. I know you guys are going to be meeting up face-to-face. Coming up here this week, but he did have some nice things to say about you. So, because we were chatting the other day, also, so yeah, great guy. He's got a lot of enthusiasm too. So, that's going to be a great match.
No bad blood between us. We just have to go through what we have to do for one night. Get in the ring and ding ding.
Yeah, I love it. And so, what is it like for you psyching up to get into the ring, like prior to a fight?
So I have to psych myself up. I have to turn myself into somebody Rambo. You know, I have to turn into that Rampage, that Rambo, that all the people that I like. So Rambo, Ric Flair, you know, Ali. I gotta turn on all competitiveness, all friendship is off, all the modes of being nice that fight week is off from everybody. Stay away from me, everybody. I'm determined to go in the ring and do a job, just like I'm hired to go sing. I'm hired to go do what I need to do to win this fight. I'm not trying to hurt nobody, don't get me wrong, because boxing does not have to hurt nobody or knock nobody out.
Right.
And it comes. The sport of boxing is supposed to be a technique, you know, a skill to win a fight, win a clean fight, and try to get out of there without being hurt and really not having to hurt him. Just win the fight clean and do a boxing exhibition. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's got to be a real, like, exciting and thrilling headspace to get into get in that mindset and then go.
Right.
And then you're under the lights, too. So that's a lot.
Right. Everybody's watching. The lights.
Yes.
Pay-per-view, the lights, people that like you, people that don't like you, fans, not fans, the media, everybody. Some people are going to come to want to see me lose. Some people are going to want to come to see me win. So all of that builds you up. And, you know, you got to go in there and take all that with you and make the best man win.
Yeah. Now, throughout your career and doing all the facets of your career, how does doing press make you feel? For some people, that's overwhelming.
I love doing press. I actually love it. I love it. I know a lot of people get overwhelmed with it. Actually, I got an interview. I got two interviews tonight. After I leave yours, I got to do another podcast tonight from somebody else from Arkansas and then somebody else from New Jersey. So I love them because it's like if somebody wanted to take the time out to talk to you, if you can, if you're not that busy, don't get me wrong, because sometimes we can be busy and it's understandable. But if you can, you do so because they are giving you your flowers. That's how I look at it. You're taking the time out to want to interview me and hear more a little bit about my life. So just as much as you're appreciated for having me, I'm appreciated for having you have me. So
I love
I'm never over cocky and overconfident.
You are a class act, sir.
Thank you, sir. Raised yes. right. Thank you.
I raised love that. Right. Yes, you were definitely raised right. And I must say, too, you know, just your energy and enthusiasm. I would love to have you in the studio. So you are welcome in studio anytime. I got a little guest house. Yeah, you stay here.
Yes.
Yes.
God be glory. I'm keeping that in mind when I come to get town. I travel every month. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, July 4th. Two shows out there in Phoenix at the casino. July 17th, I'm in Michigan. July the 29th, where we at? We were at July 29th with my oldie group, because you know I still sing with the Intruders as well. We forgot to touch on that. You know I'm a lead singer of an oldie group as well for 22 years.
Yes.
Yeah, 22 years. Actually, this would be 23 years. So carrying the legacy of my father and them, keeping the legacy going. So I've been the one lead singer for all them years. Big songs like I'll Always Love My Mama, Cowboy's the Girl. These were big, big, huge number one hit selling records that we go all over the world, in and out of the country, performing live at OD concerts and get booked all the time doing
it. Now, where are you going to be at in Michigan? Because I'm in the Metro Detroit area.
I know that. That's why I know you're in Detroit. But once I get all the theater, I can message you. I got, you know, we got each other info now. I'll give you the direct. But I know July 4th, we're in Phoenix. When I get the Michigan info, I can tell you exactly where. Because
yeah,
we're close,
absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, if we're close, let's connect. I'm really going to send you the info.
And I yeah,
for
sure.
I'll give you a free ticket and all that, boy. That's easy.
Yeah, fantastic. You know what? One of my favorite eras is the late 60s. The 60s was great oldies. Yeah, I'm
Come
loving
on,
some
buddy.
Oldies. I dig it.
60s and 70s, man, is my
That's
era.
Me.
Even though I'm only 43, I love the 60s and the 70s music. I love it. You know,
I love the classics. I even bought a classic Mustang, 1966 Fastback. I love it. Mustang, yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Go ahead, brother. You showing off, and I thought I was doing good. I got 5 cars outside. But they all like the newer ones. I got a 23, ain't too new, 23 Benz, 24 truck, another 24 truck that she wanted. So let me make clear, it ain't all mine.
Right.
Let's make it clear. You know, we got 2 trucks, 2 Benzes, and we got a Jeep. So they
Amazing.
All are 22 and 23.
I love it. I'm a Jeep guy also. I've got dogs.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
a Jeep Wrangler, that suits me.
Oh, yeah, my GMC. I love my GMC, man. My Yukon, I love that, you know, because it's just as big as I got an FBI tenant around the whole entire thing. So it's like, I'm going to drive that one tonight to the press conference. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
That's
but
awesome.
But our Benzes, they're black and white, and they're, you know, and they're 23, so they're good.
That's fantastic. So with a wife having the background that she has, what kind of initiatives do you guys get involved in? Sounds like you like to give back. You're both community
builders.
So we
give back a lot. It's funny you said that. I don't talk about my giving back to that I do so much. And I mean, I do this every month, and I've been doing it for years, from donating to the Red Cross, donating to the Boys and Girls Club, and of course, doing a lot of things in my community, from financial and just being in presence with donating my time, giving clothes, giving food, charities, my gift of voice, da 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 da. One of the things I just did around Christmas that just passed, I donated $10,000. I don't like bragging, so I'm not bragging. I'm just sharing because
share.
I donated $10,000 to Red Cross. They had something going on at that time. I don't know if you've seen. And, I just donated $10,000 to them and said, here's another piece of, you know, something that I can do. I wish I could do more. You know, if I had millions, it'd be a different story. But, you know, hundreds of thousands is fine.
Well, I love that. I had a feeling that you were a philanthropist. I knew you were a community builder. And I actually happened to be an instructor for the American Red Cross, first aid and CPR.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So
okay.
I appreciate that about you.
You got your debt this December, $10,000. You look it up, you'll see the donation.
That's huge. And I don't hear that. I don't hear that as bragging at all. That's why I wanted to ask you so you could share. I think it's important. I find that when people share, it's inspiring for other people to get, you know, dig into their pockets a little bit if you're so blessed to have that ability.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Thank you, Mike, and thank you for the encouraging words. And the reason why I say I don't brag, some people do things. Muhammad Ali said something before. He said many people do things for the spotlight and for people to know. Well, yes, some things will be shared because we are somebodies. So I get it. We're in the spotlight.
Sure.
So things that we do are going to be shared. But it's so much given that I have gave and give beyond that $10,000 that I just did in December. That, you know, you would never know unless I told you or things like that, because I don't do it for anybody to know. I do it for God, you know, for his mercy, his blessings upon me. He said you must tie it into the world and into the church. So besides my tithing into the church, when I go to church every other Sunday, the tithing to your world is also doing for your world, your city, your somebody else. You know, it's easy to just do for people you know, because you know them. Try doing for somebody that you don't know. That's to me, that's even more of giving. Give to somebody that you don't know. It's people all over the entire country, you know, Israel, you know, Africa, everywhere, white, black, China. They all are in need of many different things. And when I sit home and see some of these commercials, my wife can tell you and testify. I say, well, honey, let's donate a little bit to this right now. Whatever we feel like doing, we do. When we see the animal commercials, we all see them, and the starvation of animals. I feel like if you can, when you can, you do a little something. Even if you can't do a lot, every little bit matters. And then time. I go out, I'm sweeping with the community, the mayor, where we live at. Sweeping with the mayor and, you know, giving out my time, picking up trash and feeding food to the homeless in the city of Philadelphia when I drive back down there. Because I don't live there now. Obviously, I'm out of state, but that's still my home, you know, forever. I'm only an hour and a half drive from there. I got a big house in Middletown, Delaware. So, but I'm only an hour and a half drive from there. So I go down there. Donate my time there as well. So, yeah.
I love that. Now getting back to your hometown, like if I'm coming to Philly, say I'm coming to see the match, where do I want to eat? What are some of your favorite places?
Wow. Now, of course, everybody's going to always say steaks. Of course, that's the most common thing. If you come to Philadelphia, you're going to say steaks. But if you just want some pizza, some real good pizza that is very big, you want to go to Lorenzo's, a place called Lorenzo's, you know. South Street, their pizza is just phenomenal. But if you mean like eateries, you know, I like Ethiopian food. You know, I love, you know, right on, you know, 43rd and Chestnut, which is like the college side of West Philadelphia, 43rd and Chestnut. There's many different Mediterranean and Ethiopian foods down there. You can always go to, you know, of course, like steak. I love steak, so steaks and chickens and all that. But I just want you to try something different. So I'm going to send you to Mediterranean spots and Ethiopian spots on 43rd and Chestnut, or go to 2nd and South. That's what
I love it. That's my jam, and I'm a pizza guy. So you hit me.
Yeah,
you hit me right here.
You got to go to Lorenzo's for your pizza. Lorenzo's,
amazing.
You can look that up when you go to Philly, 2nd and South. You'll love it. You'll love it, Mike. Trust me. And wait, before we go, I got to give some shout-outs. I want to say, first, give it out to God who leads my life. Does nothing without him. Number two, Mike Neal, his staff, for having me on the show. Of course, Dame and his team, Celebrity Boxing. My best friend, Jay Reezy. Of course, my beautiful wife, Shamika. All my fans, supporters, those I know and those that support me that I don't know. All of those I'm affiliated with, the Intruders and all the many groups that I'm dealing with and doing different things. All of you that hired me in the past, all of you that will hire me in the future. Anybody that I've come across that I'll be able to shake your hand and smile with, I salute to all of y'all. Salute to Antonio, 926. We are going to give him a nice fix. And anything that has to do with that, bless all of y'all. I'm a bad man, Mike. 926 is going down.
That's right.
In the jungle. He's coming to my city, and I'm showing no pity. I am the Apollo Creed of this business. Come on, Rocky.
I'm in. I'm down. I'm going to be at that match, and I can't wait. This is going to be a great fight.
You're going to go at it, Mike. Thank you for having me. God bless you, man. God bless you.
Thank you for joining me in the studio. The King of Hooks, Corey Wims.
One and only. One and only.
All right, guys, catch the fight. Corey Wims, the King of Hooks with Antonio Sabato Jr. That's a wrap.